Ricky, Doc, and the other captives were pushed through a dark tunnel into even greater darkness. A pungent mixture of sweat, blood, and straw dust hit their nostrils at once. A moment later, glaring light made them wince, and the great barn was illuminated for all to see. First, the men saw that they'd been herded to the center of a gridded floor. Stained black with dye, the grid was not unlike a chessboard, each square a meter apart. Also across the sawdust floor were blotches of deep scarlet. Unlike the black lines, these were clearly of an organic origin. Ringing this square were bandits, a perimeter to keep the prisoners inside it. A crowd of muties and men sat in elevated rows behind them. Pieces of paper were exchanged as the slavers made bets. On the top stand perched eager workers. These operators stood beside a multitude of ropes connected by hooks to the walls. The ropes shot straight into the ceiling. Some of the ropes led up to a series of huge shuttered blinds. With a tug of a rope, the slats would open and close, flooding the barn with light or covering it with darkness. There were six of these ropes in total. The others went to unknown origins, as the top of the barn was black as midnight.
What are they betting on?
Undoubtedly on our impending demise.
What can we do?
I haven't the answer, Ricardo.
The stands were jammed with muties as more came in through the barn entrance. To the side, a man pulled an acoustic guitar from his bag, while another produced a banjo. The musicians began to tune their instruments.
Gather close!
A female mutie sauntered to the prisoners, half her hair missing on one side, the other ragged and filled with twigs.
So happy y'all can join us for the line dance! It's real simple, but watch close! Feet together, stance wide, and then step to the right, cross the left behind, another step to the side, ow, now touch the left to the right, and back the way we go!
And what if we don't wish to partake in this dance?
As he asked the question, Doc looked at the dark stains on the floor and knew the answer. Doc and Ricky watched the captured men and women begin to dance.
There we go! That's the spirit!
Feeling a blend of shame, fear, and awkwardness, Doc and Ricky joined in. Doc noticed that with every slide to the side, he stepped into a new square on the grid.
Y'all great! So proud of you! Knock 'em dead!
All hail King Clarence!
The leader, reclining atop the highest stand, opened his arms, loving the adoration.
What a treat this is! A show before the feast! Ain't gonna lie, I thought it might be better to have the line dance after the ceremony. Then I realized I'd be plenty busy after the wedding, and I don't want to miss the entertainment these would-be assassins are going to provide. Then what are we waiting for? Let the line dance commence!
Are we seriously doing this?
Alas, my friend. I wish for us not to be their entertainment. But at this moment, I'd rather we become dancing monkeys than dead men.
Okay, wait for the cue!
The shutters closed one after the other, plunging the barn into darkness. A moment later, the middle blind opened, lighting the center.
5, 6, 7, 8, move!
As Doc stepped to a new area, a heavy hemp bag dropped onto the floor where he had stood. Doc stared in horror as behind him, a crushed captive lay prone beneath the bag. The muties on the side pulled on their ropes, and the bags lifted up and out of sight, like spiders climbing a web.
Keep dancing!
Doc saw another sack hurtling from nowhere. He hopped to the side, dodging the thunderous impact. Ricky stared in shock at the dead bodies. For a moment, he stopped moving. His inaction was noticed, and a crossbow bolt thudded by his feet.
Dance, you damn!
Dios mío!
dancers began to clash with one another. They pushed and heaved, looking for the square that would guarantee protection. More and more captives were crushed in the same horrible manner. Doc saw the misshapen shapes spilled over the floor, their heads cracked open like eggs. He looked up, watching for the bags to drop, sidestepping with the rhythm.
Let's kick it up a notch!
Light and dark swapped places as the blinds shut in the middle and opened on the sides. Now, Doc couldn't make out the grid.
Don't look, Doc! Just follow the beat!
Almost done, folks! Now let loose and have fun! We're going freestyle!
As all rules fell away, the dance floor descended into chaos. Bags crushed bodies, pulping bones and organs. Any who tried to escape were thrown back by the guards, often with injuries from weapons, or were simply absorbed into the crowd and torn to pieces. The blinds opened, and the music stopped. The line dance had finished. Of the 30 dancers, only 7 survived.
Ha ha ha! What a show! Can we get a round of applause for our dancers? Mm-hmm. Let's hear it for our riggers. Finally, a big round of applause for our choreographer.
The mutie woman stepped onto the grid and bowed before Clarence.
Thank you, my king. It is an honor to...
Ricky ran forward and flung his bound arms around the woman's neck.
Get us the fuck out of here!
Kill him!
Whoa, now!
Clarence held up his hand, halting his guards. He stared at Ricky.
Aren't you the one who stole Winnie from me?
He pointed at Doc.
Yeah. And you. I know you too. Ain't you with that bastard Ryan?
We've provided enough amusement for this sick theater. You'll get nothing more. Chill us and be done with it.
No. The show ain't over yet. Not by damn sight. I'm glad I saw you two. You've got one important task, you wrinkly bastard.
And what, you cowardly cur, is that?
You, old man. We walk the bride down the aisle and deliver her into my strong, loving arms.
Ryan Cotter lay unseen in the high grass, watching with increasing unease as more of Winnie's group were pulled in from the prairie and dumped into slave pens. After locking up their new merchandise, the marauders headed toward a huge barn with a sloping roof. Ryan wanted to rush in, but against such numbers, he wouldn't stand a chance. In the distance, the fire set by Winnie and her crew were dying out, the smoke weak and faint now.
Fire blast.
Cotter skulked toward the back of the barn. There was an opening near its crest, just beneath its sprawling shingled roof. He'd found his route into the fortress. He bolted to the wall. He kicked off, stretching high for a beam cutting out from the corner. He reached up again, grabbing another beam. He worked his way onto the roof and pressed himself flat against its steep 55-degree slope. Splayed out like a gecko, Ryan padded up the shingled roof. The wind flew over the barn's apex and rushed to meet him, sending dust into his eyes. He climbed higher, the ground falling away behind him. As the roof flattened out, a shingle broke away from its brothers. Ryan started to skid, rocketing toward the edge. As he went over the brink, he caught the edge with one hand and glanced against the wall. He hung, bracing himself as loose shingles clattered against his head and shoulders before hitting the ground. Praying that no one had heard the commotion, he resumed his climb. He arrived at the window and stole a look.
Ah, shit.
The barn bustled with killers. A great rolling pit of marauders drank hooch on two sides of an aisle. This gap led to a raised stage with a flowery arch. Beneath the flowers, Ryan caught sight of the king himself. Clarence tapped his feet impatiently and fiddled with a jade diadem on his head. On the ground was another familiar figure, Ricky. The young man was bent over, his arms tied to his knees and his head against the floor. A pillow rested on his back. It held two glinting circles of gold. Rings. Ryan's anger bubbled in like lava, but acting rash wouldn't save Christy. He would do as Rowan would, and wait for the path to reveal itself. After catching up with JB and Mildred, Jack impatiently watched atop the quad bike as they let their enemy go. JB's face was dark. Mildred's bore bloody red lines. Olive looked like a peach thrown against a wall.
Where will I go?
I don't know, but it better be far away from here.
JB handed her a bag of rations.
From us. You gave us a chance, I'm giving you one too.
I'm sorry.
Olive, don't waste this opportunity. Make amends. Help people.
Olive nodded. Tears running down her battered face. She walked behind the house and was gone.
Don't give me those eyes, Jack. It was the right thing to do.
You handle your business how you want to.
We got no time for quarrels. It's time to find our friends.
Rearmed, JB and Mildred sat on the back of a moving quad as Jack thrust them into the heart of the settlement. They passed corrals and silos, fields, farmhouses, and slave pens, but saw little opposition. Incredibly, the castle seemed to have a distinct lack of guards. As they snaked past the center, they saw why. A huge mob of Clarence's troops converged into a great barn.
Shit! They're having the wedding!
How can you tell?
Because they're wearing their Sunday best?
Mildred pointed. A group of men strolled to the barn wearing misshapen top hats, ragged jackets with skinned rats for tailcoats, and shoes dyed black with burnt rubber.
This is why the prisoners are unprotected. No one wants to miss the festivities.
Dark night. The plan was to cut the head off the snake, not take on the whole army.
Then we need to make an army of our own.
Moments later, they drove into one of the slave pens. The women and men in the pen rose from the mud floor, wary and afraid. Their manacles connected to one long chain, anchored firmly into the earth. Mildred approached a woman. Her face was scarred and her body emaciated.
We're going to set you free. Will you help us fight?
The woman nodded.
Do you know where the keys are?
The prisoner shook her head. The bullet missed Mildred, but hit the woman she faced. Mildred ducked to the side as bandits spilled out from behind a silo.
Busted!
Jack fired his Colt, taking out a charging bandit. But as the man dropped, three more took his place.
And a lot of them!
Then we need our army, now!
Mildred knelt and put a scalpel to a link in one of the slave's manacles, trying to pry it open. JB blasted from the hip. He caught one target in the shoulder, a second in the chest, and a third in the thigh. He looked down at his Uzi.
Fuck. I have missed you.
Shit!
Mildred scraped at the manacles, but couldn't pry them open. She pulled her pistol and shot at the chain.
How we doing, Millie?
Not good.
Cover me. Got an idea.
Jack grabbed the chain and looped it around a fence pole. Then he turned to the serfs.
That way.
They moved in what looked like a large conga line, and the chain bent around the post, forming an L shape. Jack led the men at the end of the chain to sit on the back of the quad bike.
Hold tight. Don't let go.
Jack hit the accelerator, and the line of people whipped forward. Resistance traveled through the prisoners into the final man, his arms wrapped around Jack's stomach. Jack's guts wrenched, but the fence trembled.
Black dust! There's too many! We're too exposed! We gotta retreat!
The wheels dug through the earth, churning up a fountain of dirt.
Hold on!
Even more bandits came on. They spread wide, encircling the group.
Whatever you're trying to do, Jack? Now's the damn time.
Jack skirted left. The L shape of the chain became a U. The serfs were trapped in a physics experiment between two immovable objects.
Jack!
The vehicle smoked. Then, the chain snapped. Ryan inched forward, far above the wedding party below, crossing the truss beam from the side. A gargoyle in shadow, he skulked toward the large fixture in the center. The barn doors suddenly thrust open, filling the floor with bright light.
Here comes the bride.
Christy began reluctantly marching down the aisle, her white gown glistening like gossamer. The dress was made of bed linen and the adorning sequins of broken glass. Beside her was Doc, his frock coat replaced with a homespun jacket made from flayed prairie dog. Behind them, a mutie followed, his gun leveled at Doc's head.
Breathtaking. Just breathtaking.
From the aisles, the crowd showed their appreciation as Christy reached the altar. Some clapped, some danced, most drank. One shed a tear from malformed tear ducts. Doc stood frozen, the gun still aimed at his head. To the side, Ricky stood doubled over at an unnatural angle.
Let's just get this over with.
Christy stood on the podium and faced Clarence. He stared back, his eyes twinkling with foul intent. What was apparently some sort of muty priest stepped forward.
Dearly beloved subjects of the kingdom, we gather today to watch the great king wed. We stand together in awe to witness the beginning of a legacy. Before me is our king. And also before me is Christy, our soon-to-be queen. The vows, or is it the rings? We can just do both. My king?
Clarence strolled over to Ricky and collected the bands of recycled bronze from his hunched back.
Christy, you're a damn fine woman.
Clarence grabbed Christy's hand and forced the ring onto her finger.
By sunrise tomorrow, all your reservations will fade away. We'll make many happy memories together. And you're gonna make me warriors capable of conquering a continent.
Christy, you have anything to say?
Clarence, I hope you drown in a tub of shit.
There's the woman I love!
Kill him, Christy! Kill that hijo de puta!
Clarence went over to Ricky and kicked him in the side, bowling him over.
Stop ruining my moment!
Ricky!
Christy ran past Clarence as he strolled back onto the altar.
Get back here, woman!
Heads up, asshole!
Clarence looked up.
Son of a bitch!
The chandelier's impact exploded the wooden deck and splattered the priest. Clarence was stunned, but unharmed. He looked up again.
Mr. Ryan! You got blood on my suit!
He pointed his gun.
Kill him!
No!
Christy leapt onto Clarence's back, sending his shot wide. The bandits in the crowd blasted away at Ryan. Ryan sailed over the gaps in the rafters, deftly jumping from joist to joist. He leapt forward, grabbed a banner, and if Mildred had been there, she would have noticed his striking resemblance to a swashbuckling pirate from an old movie as he sailed to the floor. On the broken stage, Clarence shook off Christy and reared back a clenched fist.
Fucking bitch!
Don't you fucking touch her!
As he took off for the king, a bandit barreled into Ryan, and they crashed to the floor.
Ryan!
A group of bandits piled onto Ryan and brought him to his knees.
Heavy is the head that wears the fucking crown! I've had just about all the interruptions I can stomach.
Clarence unsheathed his knife and walked toward Ryan.
Been waiting for this moment a lifetime, and I'm sick of inconsequential nobodies disrupting my destiny.
He stopped, placing the point against Ryan's neck.
Don't worry, Mr. Ryan. Our children will be much more handsome than yours ever would be.
So, what? You planning to adopt?
Tell Rowan I said hi.
Wait!
Elowena stood by the door.
The fuck?
She walked straight toward Clarence.
Winnie, I want a crown.
What?
No, a tiara. Something made of gold or silver. I want people to know that I'm royal.
You tricked me before, gal. Won't let you do it again.
Don't kill him. He got my father killed. I want his death to play out long and slow. As queen, you should respect my wishes.
Christy ran in front of Winnie and grabbed her hands.
What the hell are you doing back here? Why are you giving yourself up?
I'm done fighting, Christy. It's over. My father fought and died. We thought we could trick Clarence, and we failed. There are no more plays left.
No. Winnie.
Marshall was right. We should have just faced the music.
You don't mean that.
Look around, Christy. There's no one left. He won. We're spent. All of this could have been avoided if my father did the right thing long ago. If one of us is to be queen, I'd rather it be me than you.
She shoved Christy, sending her onto her back.
Guess the apple does fall far from the tree. You got brains your pa didn't.
Clarence moved away from Ryan and met Winnie on the center stage.
But you ain't got no power over me, girl. I'm gonna have plenty of wives.
I didn't say you couldn't. But a king should have one queen. That's tradition.
Why you and not her?
Because I'm working with the grain. I'm making this easy.
She took a step closer to Clarence.
Also, I'm young.
Yeah, you are.
Clarence slipped a hand around the small of her back.
So, what's the royal decree, my king?
He pulled her into a kiss. Winnie standing up on her tiptoes.
Has sanity left this world? Is all that is left betrayal and death?
No.
Winnie's hands found Clarence's jaw, caressing his cheeks, stroking his beard.
Damn. I didn't know you had it in you, little girl.
Gaia ate me.
Who's that?
I said.
She held the back of his head close with sudden ferocity.
Gaia ate me!
Suddenly, Elowena's hair flowed, and the clothes rippled around her body, thrust by an invisible wind. Her eyes shone with green light, burning like emerald stars. Clarence tried to pull away, but Winnie held tight. Her lips clamped over his, and she bit. Winnie's hands pressed on his face, coming together. Clarence's jaw collapsed. Blood burst, gushing through Winnie's fingers into a pool on the stage. When she finally pulled away, Clarence's face was a red mess. His lower jaw was ruined and splintered, broken bone piercing his skin and beard. It hung like a door knocker against his throat, his tongue suspended like a stalactite.
Assassin! Kill her!
When he pushed Clarence away and ducked under a blow, she slid forward between another's legs and back onto her feet. She grabbed the rope from the fallen chandelier. She ran with it, then suddenly stopped and yanked the rope. The chandelier launched from the floor. Elowena pulled and spun, around and around and around. And in a great arc, the chandelier careened with her, its candle flames following like fiery fists. She tugged, and the mass dipped. It crunched a row of muties, obliterating their bodies on impact. It went around into another loop, raining even more. Elowena whirled, rising up and down like a merry-go-round, and the cyclone of destruction followed in her wake. The next rotation propelled muties into the walls. The following pasted more, and the one after sliced bodies like a hot knife through butter. Her power finally left her, and she let the rope go. The Wheel of Death smashed into the Horde, leaving bloody streaks in its wake. It hit the wall, and the candles caught the red banners. They ran up the cloth, spreading to the barn's rafters, then back down other banners. Elowena collapsed.
Winnie!
The muties watched the flames coat the barn, then broke, trampling over the dead as they made for the exit and abandoned their captives. They flooded the entrance, but with a crowd so large, they couldn't fit through the door at the same time. The mob jammed as each of them sought their own survival. Bandits were swept in the crush, squeezed between neighbors, and flattened beneath their feet. The building began to tremble. Ryan, Doc, and Ricky joined Christy and Winnie.
Lover!
I'm here.
We must leave before the building brings its weight down upon us.
But how? The exit's clogged!
Ryan?
Ryan felt a tingle. Something tugged at him. He allowed the sensation to lead the way.
Follow me.
It was strange. The feeling was familiar, like recognizing a friend without seeing their face. Ryan walked through the smoke and fire. A crack opened where the chandelier met the wall, letting in light from the outside world. Ryan grabbed Rowan's fire axe and hacked at the wood, widening the fissure.
How did you know?
Ryan didn't respond. He didn't know the answer himself. As he worked at the opening, the bandits finally broke out of the choked entrance, surging into the sunlight like a burst dam, where an unexpected welcoming party awaited.
Afternoon, fuckers.
JB, Mildred, and Jack released their arsenal. There were so many, it was impossible to miss. Bodies dropped left, right, and center, creating a small hill of cadavers. The companions' weapons emptied. The surviving muties raised their weapons to return fire. But a battle cry went up, and figures flooded past the trio. The horde of prisoners plowed into the bandits like a wave on the beach. On impact, they skewered a dozen with broken flagpoles. The next wave of freedmen came, galloping in with their spears, impaling all who survived the first charge. The freedmen and women gave no inch or quarter. The fracas was a bloody thing. Many of the freed died as they cut into their former masters, but their sacrifice was not in vain. To a man, the oppressors were destroyed. A figure limped out from the burning barn. Saliva, blood, and mucus coated his chest. Lawrence tripped over the body of one of his men, falling onto another. He crawled, viscera dripping from his face. He came upon a set of legs and looked up. Ryan stood before him, Christy and Winnie on either side. Clarence folded his hands together in a pleading gesture.
Please, mercy.
Winnie bent forward, but she didn't strike. Instead, she took her father's jade diadem and crowned herself.
Please, mercy.
Ryan passed the fire axe to the young girl.
He's all yours.
End it, Winnie.
No.
Winnie?
He hurt me. He hurt my family, but still, it isn't right.
Thank you.
It wasn't just my family he hurt. It wasn't even just one vill, but many. Vengeance isn't just mine. It belongs to the people.
She leveled the fire axe at Clarence.
So have at it!
She stepped to the side, and a dozen citizens advanced. His ruined jaw dangling, Clarence tried to crawl away. He scrambled back over the bodies, but a hand gripped his foot, and he was dragged back the way he had come. Sometime later, the companions watched from Jack's quad bike as the barn collapsed into a fuming heap. The flames crackled as if with laughter as they spat out blackened timber.
You know, for a place without much wood, seems to be an awful lot of fires around here.
Guess people like to burn.
And rebuild.
Mildred looked at the mass of people. The citizens of Wolfsnake Reach were mingling with the former slaves. They handed out food, provided water from their canteens, and checked them for injuries. Some volunteers gathered weapons from their deceased opponents, while others prepared graves for their lost brothers and sisters. Elowena stood on a cart, surrounded by a crowd of armed citizens. She had Marshall's map in her hands. She pointed at the parchment, then gestured outward with her hand. The warriors heeded her orders and headed in different directions.
I dare say the prairies are a realm where oppositions thrive. Cold as Hades at night, boiling like a desert during the day, deftly silent from atop high, an incredible cacophony in the grass below. This land yields mystery and power, yet the oldest traditions live on, unmolested, as they shall for millennia.
It's full of opposites. We met some fucked up folk out here, real twisted. But we also met some of the most kind. Ray, Rodrigo, Cheryl, Rowan. Not many people would welcome us into their community like they did.
The animals are opposites too. You've got awesome eagles, but also like so many of those loud rats.
Ain't no shade.
Yes, a land choking with contrast. I can't help but wonder if the villainous hearts of others somehow create those souls of good.
What are you talking about?
What I mean, John Barrymore Dix, is that the very fact we faced evil on the prairies means we must encounter goodness too. Perhaps there is an unseen universal law at work, a celestial scale, with the world's malevolence on one weighing pan and virtuousness on the other. Thus, when we face certain darkness, we are met with light. The scales forever maintain balance.
Sorry to tell you, Doc, but that scale broke some time ago. We all know which side weighed more.
Maybe the scale isn't so one-sided. Look at these people. They're not consumed with hate and cruelty. They've been through something harrowing and can still joke, laugh, and forgive. Even at the end of the world, goodness can prevail. People can do right by their neighbor.
Maybe they're the exception, not the rule.
But isn't that enough? There are still folks out there who are good and full of love and who want to mend the world. Isn't that why we fight?
Either way, I guess it's a good rule to live by.
Ryan joined the group.
How's Christy?
She's fine. Getting her clothes back. And the injuries?
But for some bumps and bruises, we'll be fine.
So what's the situation?
Not sure myself. From what I heard, the citizens are setting up patrols in case any bandits come back for seconds. They're also taking an account of the dead, gathering weapons, doing what they can.
Looks like Winnie's taking charge.
What the chief says goes.
There has been no contest of leadership?
Not that I've heard. After all, she saved them all. Us too. As if on cue, Elowena walked over to the companions. She was unrecognizable from the teenager they'd met weeks earlier. Where once there was defiance simply for defiance's sake, there was now determination and wisdom. Despite her small frame, presence pulsed from her, and with a jade diadem atop her braided hair, she looked like her father's daughter. The fire axe hung from her hip. Elowena had yet to clean herself after she had attacked Clarence. The blood had dried and stained her face. For all the world, it looked like war paint.
Hey.
You need a hand with anything, Chief?
No, you've done more than enough.
Will you stay here or head back to Wolfsnake Reach?
I don't know yet. I guess Dad would want me home, but this place has fields and storage facilities, and a watchtower comes included for free. The people will have to make that decision.
I hope you don't mind me saying this, but you speak like a true leader. If your father could see you now, he'd be beyond joy. Like a phoenix, you've risen from the ashes and sprouted wings most glorious.
Oh, you're so corny.
Wherever he is, Rowan is proud of you.
Thank you.
I ain't one for fashion, but I think he'd love the new look.
His traditions live through me. Their origins aren't important, because all that counts is that they matter to him. And now they matter to me.
Hear, hear.
But I came here to ask you all something. We want you to join our community. The story of our freedom isn't complete without you in it. Stay with us. Help us write the next chapter.
The companions looked at one another. Each felt a deep longing to rest, to put down their weapons, and think of nothing. At that point, Christy arrived to answer for the group.
We must move on. Our mission was to help you and your home, but it's time we found one of our own.
Christy, we have supplies, food, and security with all the leftover blasters. Everyone here is so grateful. There's just no reason.
Elowina.
She looked at the others. They got the message and moved off, giving the pair some space.
I am so proud of what you've accomplished. You let Gaia into your heart, and that's a relationship you'll nurture for life. There's nothing more I can teach you.
But that can't be right. There's so much more to learn, and Gaia probably wants you to stay, and I need you.
No, you don't. You have found your path, and no one can steer you from it.
Then I want you to stay. Is that a good enough reason?
Winnie's gaze moved to the other companions at that moment.
Your destiny is tied to theirs. I guess it's not fair if you stay just for me. Besides, you've got your own path to tread.
And there's a great deal left to walk.
She tried to blink back the tears, but one escaped and cut a line through the blood on her face.
I don't know where to begin. Thank you, Christy. For everything.
The pair hugged. Christy's hair flowed, her moving strands overlapping Winnie's braids.
You're going to make a hell of a chief.
Clouds drifted lazily overhead as the companions left the castle. Under the watchful eye of gliding hawks, they trekked through a tapestry of golden grass. The wind flowed through the prairie, delivering the sweet scent of wildflowers and the tang of sagebrush. Ryan and Christy walked a little ahead of the others.
We could have stayed longer. You know that.
I do. But it's not about what I want. Our new home will be on our terms, not just mine.
And that I could have used a few days' rest.
My quest was complete. Thank you for giving me the space to do that. I know it must be hard, sharing me with Gaia, not fully understanding.
I felt her. At least, I think I did. She helped us get to you. And she showed me the way out of the burning barn.
Ryan, that's wonderful.
It could be I made it all up. You know, maybe the fumes and drugs are still clogging up my head.
You felt what you felt, lover.
Christy, we've been together a long time, and we've been through a lot, but...
He stopped, unsure of how to explain himself. He bent down and plucked a dandelion from the ground.
If I'm honest, I think a part of me hurts that there's a part of you I can't access. Maybe I'm afraid I'll lose you to it one day.
He rolled the stem carefully between his fingers.
But I don't own you, and I don't need to. You don't need to choose between me or Gaia. Your heart is big enough for both of us.
Ryan, that's where you're wrong.
The dandelion seeds exploded before his face, gliding down like snowflakes.
I might have a bond with Gaia, but my heart is entirely yours.
They kissed amidst a flurry of feathery tufts.
Fuck it!
You all right, kid?
Another damn burro! Dios mío, I hate these rats!
Prairie dogs.
They're kind of growing on me.
I concur with Jack. The fauna of these lands is amenable enough.
Not to me, they're not. How come you're not face-planting every 5 seconds?
Because, young Morales, while you have youth, I have poise. And I must say, a rather handy-dandy cane.
Watch yourself, Ricky. Now's not the time to twist your ankle.
Easier said than done. Unless you're offering a piggyback.
How about a kick in the butt?
Companions didn't know what dangers lay on the other side of the horizon, but they marched toward it nonetheless, with nothing but what they carried on their backs and their friends at their sides. They strode through the prairie and into the unknown. Deathlands 155 Doom Horizon is a Graphic Audio production. Deathlands adult characters are trademarks owned by Graphic Audio LLC. Used by others under license. Copyright and production copyright 2025 Graphic Audio LLC. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication is prohibited. Narrated by Richard Rowan. Featuring Richard Rowan as Ryan Cotter and Jack Lauren. Terrence Aselford as J.B. Dix and Doc Tanner. Colleen Delaney as Christy Roth. Lolita Horn as Dr. Mildred Wyeth. Rob Morera as Ricky Morales. Ashley D. Nguyen as Elowina. Rainer Gabriel as Clarence. And Chris Davenport as Rowan. With additional performances by Andy Brownstein, Nanette Savard, Zura Johnson, Ryan Haugen, Matthew Bassett, Jonathan Lee Taylor, Damon Allums, Keith Richards, Donald Guzzi, David M. Jordan, Tia Shearer, Joey Sorlis, Maria Amelia Park, Drew Copas, Jonathan Sleep, Jameson Hunt, Gabriel Michael, and Katie Karkoff. Directed by Matthew Bassett. Adapted for graphic audio by Adam Frankfurt and Matthew Bassett. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producers Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Maddie Famartino. Theme music arranged by David Zitney, based on a theme by Mark Ashby. The Companions will return in Deathlands 156. If you've enjoyed Deathlands 155, Doom Horizon, check out our whole catalog of Deathlands releases, available now at www.graphicaudio.net. Keep listening for a preview of another epic title in graphic audio. The mutated monster was 50 yards away, too far for Marsh to throw the jerry can at it. It held its position and stared at him. The forked tongue slid out, and the multiple legs flexed. Marsh stood and held the jerry can at the end of both arms. He gripped the handles as tightly as he could and had to force his words out.
Harley, I'm gonna need you to shoot this container.
But not now!
Make up your mind!
I'll tell you when to shoot!
You're not the boss of me.
Marsh ignored her, hoped she wouldn't shoot him, and swung the jerry can slightly forward and back to test the weight of the container contents and his strength. The lizard spider was so far away, he knew he couldn't make the throw to reach the creature. He considered getting closer, but that wasn't appealing. The thing moved too quickly. The jerry can was only 30 pounds. He could ease up a little to make the throw shorter. He could do that. He tried to make his feet move, but they were locked to the ground. He stared at the muty creature, afraid to take his gaze from it.
You still with me, Harley?
Somehow, the idea of dying alone seemed worse than just dying. When Traitor had found him, that had almost happened. Everyone else had been dead. Marsh never wanted to go through that again. He didn't want to die alone.
Wouldn't miss seeing you get eight for the world.
Make sure you shoot the...
The lizard spider sprang from the Humvee toward Marsh and cleared 20 yards. The thing landed in a mad scramble of churning limbs and streaked for Marsh. Beyond fear now, with survival on the line and propelled by adrenaline and the primitive drive to survive, Marsh stepped forward just as he'd envisioned the move and swung the jerry can in a wide arc. And it swung in a slow vertical spin through the air. But he made himself focus on the creature. The container wasn't going to hit the lizard spider. He'd missed by a couple of yards, but it had been the only play he'd had. Off balance, he fell toward the ground and awkwardly reached for the specter.
Now, Harley!
Marsh knew he couldn't get up in time and hoped that the thing killed him quickly.
Now! Shoot the jerry can!
Harley was a good shot. Marsh had seen that. The young woman wasn't as good as Jez with a long gun, but she could be pure death up close and of a sudden. The jerry can hit the ground only 15 yards away and to the side of the lizard spider. Tracer fire from Harley's M4 blazed through the night, and the thunder from the weapon roared in Marsh's ears because Harley was there beside him. She stood over him, and hot brass spilled over Marsh. The bullets ripped through the metal jerry can. One of the tracer rounds set the gasoline on fire, and the container exploded.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,700 titles to choose from. Listen to over 225 binge-worthy series. We feature titles and genres like science fiction, fantasy, romanticy, westerns, mystery thrillers, comics, and more. Check out our exclusive series such as Deathlands, Rogue Angel, Outlanders, Tangent Knights, and Agent of Exiles, which are only available in our dramatized adaptation format. Experience a radically different type of audiobook produced with a full cast, sound effects, and cinematic music. Listen to a movie in your mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Our dramatized adaptation titles are available at all major audiobook retailers and platforms. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other social platforms. For more information and samples of all our titles, visit our website at graphicaudio.net.